Hey, everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with Greg Wilson, being my sidekick today, and the natural, the one and only, one of the greatest fighters of all time, Randy Couture is here.
Randy Couture, everybody!
With his beautiful girlfriend, Mindy Robinson, over there watching the podcast. It's going to be a great show. Before we start, I want to thank our sponsors. First, to Remove It Restoration. Has your business been vandalized? Have gang members destroyed your business storefront? Call the professionals at Remove It Restoration. They take away graffiti, they fix up etched windows, and they can get it brand new for a fraction of the cost. Your business image is very important. Don't leave it in the hands of the amateurs. Okay, so call them at Remove It Restoration at 1-888-424-9697 or go to removeitrestoration.com. They also sponsor fighters. They sponsor Roxanne Modafari. They're looking to sponsor other fighters. So they're good people. Eric's a good guy. We've hung out before. Also, I want to thank HempCore. I have been working out, guys. I know you guys were like, oh, you always work out. I don't. But I actually have.
I was exactly not thinking that.
Thank you. I've been working out, and I'm telling you, I've been using HempCore after my workouts. It's a Canadian company started by two brothers. They supply athletes with 100% certified organic hemp protein, as well as natural hemp protein. I'm telling you guys, HempCore, it's a great alternative to processed supplements. You like take these things, you don't know what's in them. Unpronounceable ingredients. These guys have no added flavoring, color, chemicals, or byproducts. Check the label. The only ingredient you'll ever find is hemp protein. Now, 4 tablespoons or 2 scoops provide our athletes with 16 grams of highly digestible protein per serving. So HempCore is usually used by all kinds of MMA fighters, including Jordan Mean. He's a pretty damn good fighter. And look, they're a supporter of amateur fighters, semi-pro, and UFC fighters. And they use no illegal ingredients. So you're not going to get busted for a drug test. You won't fail.
That's good.
So you can order them at HempCoreStore.com. That's HempCoreStore. They do free shipping orders over $100. And if you use the code Adam, you'll receive 15% off on your thing. Trust me. And they take Canadian money. So you actually, Americans, we will save money. And finally, our third sponsor, Dude Wipes. I'm telling you guys, I have been using Dude Wipes left and right. My ass smells amazing. Girls compliment me. All the time. I've had like 3 or 4
God,
chicks.
This is a nice smelling three ass.
They love it. I've had, honestly, you never know, guys, when a girl's going to eat your ass. It just all of a sudden springs up on you. Don't get caught with a.
And summer's coming, so you want to have a fresh ass.
Yes.
Counter the swamp ass.
Yeah,
that's right. Swamp ass season.
Randy Couture is getting old. You got the pens. Okay, I'm telling you, you may need this Dude Wipes and Dude products. Get them at amazon.com/dude products. Now, got that out of the way. I am so excited, man. I spent all night last night watching all your fights.
Believe you did that.
No, it was as if I was watching it for the first time, because somebody actually was. But it was.
We've had a lot of fights.
And happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, thank you, man.
Happy birthday, Adam.
By the way, this show is going to come out next week. It's now May 20th. I'm doing a comedy show for the Sheik in the Indian.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, in the Sanchel Islands. I'm doing a private.
Oh, you're going over there. Yeah,
I'm doing a private show for the Sheik and the Prince. So this is going to air on next week. So UFC 187 hasn't happened yet. Well, that's what I'm saying. But you could. So in case we were talking about stuff, that way you'll know. That way you get a podcast every single week. However, it's my birthday. It's May 20th. Greatest birthday ever is to spend it with the natural. Now,
that's right.
Now, I was looking at some of your stuff, man. You're a 3-time heavyweight champion, 2-time light heavyweight champion. You were divorced 12 times. I'm telling you, you just got back riding.
Only 3 times.
Only 3 times.
Only 3 times.
You just got back riding your motorcycle across the country and back?
Mm-hmm. Just across the country. I shipped it to Columbus, Georgia, Fort Benning area. We had a charity ride down there for my foundation, the Extreme Couture GI Foundation, and then we rode the bike back to Vegas.
Nice. So yeah. You and your beautiful girlfriend in the back of the motorcycle. Yep.
Koala.
That is so romantic. that is, and she's this hot blonde. If you guys don't know Randy's girlfriend, I like her way better than the other 7 I met. I'm telling you, she it's not even close, man.
Randy goes through girlfriends like Dude Wipes.
Yeah, you do get better with
kidding,
age, Randy.
I'm just joking.
You get much better with age. Now I was looking at some of your stuff. So, okay, you go to the military, right? You're in the military. Mm-hmm. You're a sergeant.
Yeah, ETS from the military is an E5, a sergeant.
So how many people were in your
Well, I was at that time on the All Army Wrestling team, so it wasn't like being in a platoon where I was a squad leader or anything like that. My regular unit was an air traffic control unit, but they got me released to be part of the All Army Wrestling team. So my 6 years, I spent 4 years wrestling for the Army, representing the Army. I spoke at high schools,
right.
Went to the Inter-Service Championship, went to the Olympics, Olympic trials. I was an alternate on the 88 Olympic team as a soldier.
But the crazy, one of the craziest things, so you were a state champ high school and wrestler at high school. Your fourth year, your senior year, you won the states.
Yep, 1981.
1981.
And then you go. And then you'll say, when I was 1 year old.
Exactly. How adorable.
And then
you're out there wrestling going, somewhere my girlfriend just got born.
And then you go right to the Army from high school, right?
I went to a semester at Washington State, ended up. My girlfriend getting knocked up, and that's Ryan.
Ryan.
Left school, never finished the term, got married, and needed a way to support a new family.
Nice.
So I joined the service.
So now we had Ryan on the show before, by the way. We've had Ryan, and we've had Kimmy. Everybody but you. This is, I'm like, we've had to get everybody. So you go to the Army, and I heard that you tried out for the freestyle wrestling team, but you filled out the wrong paperwork.
They put me on a Greco bracket, by accident.
So then you end up wrestling Greco, which is a huge difference.
Yes, absolutely.
And you made the team.
I'm there ready to wrestle freestyle, and they start calling my name on the Greco mat, and I'm like, what the hell? And I run over there, and they're like, hey, you're on the bracket. Are you wrestling or not? We can take you off, but
you're not going to wrestle.
Matches up right now. So I'm like, all right, what the hell? I end up winning the damn tournament.
No way.
My first tournament. But
Greco's all throws.
From there.
Do you even
Greco's
know the rules?
All upper body. I had no clue.
You had no, I mean, it's like 5-point throws, 4-point throws, and freestyle. So totally different.
Can I be honest with you? I'm so glad you just explained that.
Okay, really?
Because I was sitting here, I was like, so what is the difference?
No, it's way different.
Yeah. Freestyle, like folk style or collegiate wrestling, you can grab the legs. You can do fireman's carry, single legs, double legs, everything that attacks below the waist. Greco, all the holds take place from the waist up.
Okay.
Not allowed to touch the legs in an offensive or defensive manner. So it's like judo without a gi.
You kind of
grab a hold of each other.
That makes sense.
And you arm throw, you headlock, you body lock, you do a lot of throwing. And,
a little
and
pop and
so you win the tournament, but not knowing any of these rules.
I had no clue.
And then you end up becoming an alternate for the Olympic team.
Mm-hmm. Fast forward a few years
A few years in Greco.
Yeah.
So you just picked it up. Other guys have been doing Greco their whole lives. You pick it up in the Army. Was the Army that good of a Greco-Roman training program?
It actually was. The services in general have a strong emphasis on Greco as a style. I think because most of the athletes that come into the services, all four services, haven't been to college. So for them to compete on the freestyle level with all the guys that are in college programs, and it's very difficult for them. But there's not a lot of strong Greco programs in the U.S. and a lot of strong Greco wrestlers, to be honest, in this country. It's not a terribly popular style. So the military programs saw fit to emphasize that a little more.
Oh, okay.
And so a lot of our top wrestlers come out of the military programs.
Then you end up after the – you also box in the military.
That's a common misconception. I was in AIT as an air traffic controller at Fort Rucker, Alabama.
And you just
I would have done anything. No, I would have done anything to get out of running in formation in combat boots. It didn't – matter what it was. They said, volleyball team, I'm up. I joined the volleyball team to get out of regular PT. They said, we're doing a boxing smoker with the the mechanics and the student pilots. We're the air traffic control pilots. So I'm like, I'm in.
Right.
And so I spent 3 weeks training for a match, a boxing match in that boxing smoker. And then I didn't get a match. I didn't get paired up with anybody. I didn't get paired up with anybody.
Okay.
So I got out of PT. I went to the gym every day and boxed every day.
But that was
the extent of my boxing training.
You keep saying you were an
and
army
then in
boxer.
In my very first fight, that was what they put on the TV when they were introducing my credentials or whatever.
Right.
I was walking out into the cage. And I didn't see it till later.
Yeah,
but everybody that knew me was like, boxing? What the hell are they talking about?
He was that's a what wrestler. I figured. You were So then you end up, after the Army, you go to OSU.
After I left the service in 1988, I got a scholarship after being an alternate on that Olympic team.
Yeah.
All these college coaches are going, well, who the hell is this guy? Where's he been? And his phone started ringing. I ended up going to Oklahoma State on a scholarship and wrestled there for 4 years.
And you were a four-time All-American.
Three-time All-American.
Two-time in the national finals.
Yeah.
One against Mark Kerr, which we were talking about before, this guy Mark Kerr was like the – he was sort of – like I remember watching the Smashing Machine. And I think I was in high school at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never seen anything like that before. It was the most violent introduction to the UFC. But I was like, this is awesome. And Mark Kerr was like a mini Tyson in some ways. I mean,
obviously a very, very good wrestler. And he was one of our top wrestlers in freestyle at the 220-pound weight class. Our senior years, it was his senior year as well. He went to Syracuse. I was at Oklahoma State. We wrestled 190 to give you an indication of what had been going on in his life, because I see him about 2 years, 3 years later, and he's at 255 fighting and
jacked.
Yoked
yeah.
to the gills. So, he was definitely on a little bit different path.
Yeah.
And it ended up catching up with him.
Yeah, he ended up getting hooked on painkillers and fighting in Japan. But for a while, though, Mark Kerr was...
I love fighting in Japan as part of the bad. Like,
that's
when
Pride
started. You got hooked on painkillers, fighting in Japan.
Pride
Dragon Tail.
Notoriously didn't test. PEDs. The UFC didn't test at that time either. They didn't start testing until 2000. But Pride, they made no bones about it.
And beat some ass. Yeah,
well, even now they don't see the test in a lot of areas. A lot of fighters tell me, I've been tested once. Other guys tell me I get tested every single fight. It's strange. And now we had a fighter on recently that said that they don't test the losers for the fights. So if you lose a fight, they don't test you.
It's random except for title fights. A lotto or a draw.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's losers or winners. I've been tested as a non-title fight. I've also, every single, both winner and loser in a title fight is going to get tested.
One of the guys you fought, the Josh Barnett fight, which I watched for the first time last night. I always knew about it, but I didn't realize how much you were dominating that first round. I mean, you had almost had him, you were pounding away on him.
Technical mistake on my part. I'd been working so hard on kind of making my jiu-jitsu stronger, because as a wrestler, I'm not used to being on her back and kind of playing that game. And we got into a scramble, and I pulled guard. And he's a 250-pound man. I'm a 220-pound guy. And now I'm laying underneath this big bastard.
Yeah.
And he started pounding away on me. So that fight and that loss forced me, and that was my first loss in MMA, and it kind of forced me to reevaluate what I was thinking and what I was doing and get back to being a wrestler and thinking like a wrestler. And it's great that I learned the jiu-jitsu, and it was, I think, important, but I always need my background, and what brought me to the dance is wrestling. So.
Well, you won, but I mentioned him because after the fight, he got popped for steroids.
Exactly.
And now, how pissed were you when that happened?
I mean, I was disappointed, and then they tried to give me the title back, and I'm like, no, I still lost the fight. I don't care what you all think. I still lost the fight. I made a mistake and lost the fight, so I wouldn't just take the title back. I ended up fighting again for it. That was my second loss, and I got injured in that fight. I was, again, winning.
The Rico fight?
Yeah, winning the fight pretty handily, and then ended up catching an elbow and fracturing my orbit.
That fight was crazy. Fight.
Anytime the orbit gets busted
in a fight. Yeah, well, you affect your vision.
It just looks so bad. Yeah, and when they let it continue, like as a spectator, I'm just like, stop the fight! His eye's broken!
You're an idiot. But
I do. It looks so bad. Like, of all the things that can happen to you, that one just looks, it swells up and looks horrific.
It was instantaneous. I knew there was something seriously wrong, and I verbally tapped and was done.
Rico fight, I mean, you're fighting a guy that's like 260. You're a natural 220-pounder.
Mm-hmm.
Even with Barnett, I mean, I got to think if I'm you, I'm 220, I'm fighting a guy who's, I mean, I've stood next to Josh Barnett. He's huge.
He's a big guy.
And you're fighting Josh Barnett, and then afterwards he gets popped for steroids. You'd be like, really? You're 50 pounds heavier than me, and you got to take steroids?
I think Josh had some image issues. He felt like he was soft, and he wanted to look the part more. I think that's where he was coming from. He performed well. He had already been performing well.
He's already a monster.
For a big guy. Yeah, he was. I think he didn't really care for the way he looked, and that's where he was coming from. At least that was my
take on
what happened with him.
Who do you like, him versus Roy Nelson? They're fighting coming up.
That's a great fight for Josh. I mean, Roy, you know what Roy's going to bring in, that big overhand right. And Roy's not a bad grappler. He's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. He moves well. Another guy that moves well for a big guy. But I don't think he's as good as Josh is.
I don't think he's as motivated, too. I mean, Roy built. He
naturally doesn't look like.
I love Roy, but the guy built.
Everybody assumes that he's right, pretty motivated to go to McDonald's. Yeah. But outside of that,
he looks like he's motivated to sit around and drink a six pack.
Well, he literally built a gym in his kitchen.
He's like Keystone's older brother.
He there's a gym in his house. He didn't want to leave the house to go to the gym, so he built one in like his kitchen, so he could take.
He's
break.
An amazing submission guy.
Amazing, amazing. He
Josh
is. And Josh, both of them are, but Josh is a different level. I mean, even like Metamorris, Josh is like. Beating yeah. like Dean Lister, tapping these guys that have never
Dean's,
lost.
I thought he was gonna rip Dean's head off.
So then after that, okay, so you finally make the transition to MMA, and I watched your first couple fights last night, and I actually posted it on like Twitter. I was like, you gotta see. I'm doing research on Randy Couture. Your first fight, you're fighting a guy from Finland.
Yeah, and Tony Halama,
the guy looks like. An action figure. His nickname is the Viking. He looks like an actual
right,
Viking.
Right, right.
He's about 100 pounds heavier than you.
He was 300 pounds.
300 pounds. Yeah. You're walking in there with wrestling shoes.
My mom literally started crying. She was watching it on TV at home, you know, and they show the interviews, and he's like, I'm going to rip his arms off, and then if that doesn't work, I'm going to rip his legs off. And I have balls of steel, and
no mother
I'm
wants
just
to
going,
hear that
you know, my
son.
Mom started crying. She's like, oh, my God, he's going to get killed. And
stop
know.
The fight!
No, this guy's a pro wrestler, and he's also, and his nickname is like some kind of crazy nickname, and he goes, I'm going to rip his arm off or else I'm going to die trying. That's what he said.
Him, yeah.
And then you come
that's
out there.
That's like Rocky IV shit right there. That's it very.
It was unbelievable. So, and then you come out there and within 3 seconds, the guy comes charging at you. You do like a double leg football
I've
tackle.
Seen this. Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Sweep him up, submit him, and then it's over within like 30 seconds.
50 seconds.
I mean, at that point, but while you're walking, when you look at him, are you just like,
I honestly didn't know whether to climb the cage and get the hell out of there or, you know, pee myself. I didn't know. It was this surreal, even walking out through that crazy, and they're grabbing at your clothes and screaming, and I wasn't used to that in wrestling. And,
yeah.
And so it was just kind of this whole surreal thing. And then to have it over in 50 seconds, less than a minute, I was like, damn.
Oh, no, you're such a badass. You don't even
you're
smile.
Like, damn, I'm amazing at this.
Dude, he fucking
I'm a natural.
He doesn't even, Greg, he doesn't even smile. He raised his hand and just walks out. Like, no entourage. It was like,
you really wanted to get out of there before something changed. Like, you know, this is unexpected. I'm going to get the fuck out of here before they say we got to keep this going.
Seriously, you were like the Clint Eastwood of like, you just walk out, you still have some hair. It was
soul survivors.
Then your second fight, you fight a guy twice the size of that guy. The guy, this huge black guy.
He looked like he had coconuts strapped to his chest.
Guy, well, this was back when massive. It was somewhat still
it was
like
UFC,
a
it
tough
was,
man kind of like crazy circus.
Well, there was no
it
way.
Seemed
well,
wilder.
This actually UFC 13 was the first show where they had what they call the lightweight division because Tito made his debut on that same card in Augusta, Georgia. Anything under 200 pounds was considered lightweight, and anything over 200 pounds was considered heavyweight.
That's
there
crazy.
Were still only four rules on the books. I never saw the
four
guys
the
that
rules.
Was fighting. No biting, no eye gouging, no fish hooking, and no groin strikes.
No, there was headbutting.
Oh, there was headbutting.
I headbutted the crap out of
Stephen Graham. No, the funny part. So the same thing happens,
head
right?
For it too.
So let me set up what happens. Okay. So Randy comes out there against this like 350-pound black guy.
Yeah,
the guy was huge, right? Same thing. Fucking takes him down with a double leg, right? The guy sort of was a little bit better than
he's athletic, yeah.
So then he kind of goes onto he goes onto all fours, and you start headbutting the back of his head.
Yeah, he nice. Headbutted me. I'd never been. I spun around him. He was trying to get up. I spun around him, took his back. I put my hooks in. I had his back, and I'm starting to hit him, and he rears back
Bam.
And headbutts me in the cheek, and I'm like, whoa. Shit, really? So, bam, I just started blasting him with my head and punching him, and that was the end.
They're
the
headbutting each
over.
Other. I've never seen it. It was the funniest thing.
That's like a cartoon.
I
fight.
Literally was like, what the fuck am I watching right now? Seriously, I was.
This is some Ram Tough shit.
I love it. So, I love it.
So then the guy taps out again, rear naked. You knew one move, rear naked choke. Mm-hmm. Which the guy even said, I think it was Blatnick, or I don't know who was. He's like, Randy really doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Because.
You can always count on Jeff.
You can tell that Randy's very limited in his arsenal here, but whatever. So I mean, you sunk in it.
It worked.
It worked. You won. It was. But that, wouldn't you tell me one time that someone was sitting next to like his family members and they're like, that white boy's gonna get killed?
No, that was my wife at the time.
Your wife at the
time. My second wife was in the stands, and she was literally, you know, freaking out. She didn't like me. It was surreal. She didn't know what. And these guys in the row next to her were betting. You're like, oh, I'm betting on the black boy. He's going to get his ass kicked. And she went and threw up in the trash can. She was so nervous.
Your wife throws up. Your mom's crying.
It's got to be tough, man.
This is the first UFC. It was unbelievable. So then that second UFC, right, you come back and you fight Vitor Belfort, right? Mm-hmm. That was UFC.
They offered me I won the heavyweight tournament there because it was still tournament format. I fought twice that night. And then they're like, we want to put you in the super fight in the next card. UFC 17, and that'll be against Vitor Belfort. Well, I just watched him kick the crap out of Tank Abbott in 60 seconds.
Yeah.
And Trey Teligman. He Trey Teligman.
Did he beat Vanderlei yet in Pride?
Nope, that came later.
Okay, that came
UFC
later.
UFC Brazil the next year.
Right.
So he pretty much just walked through everybody, straight left-right combinations, and just blasted everybody. And I'm like, really? Holy crap, I better find a boxing coach ASAP. And that kind of forced things with the wrestling coach that I worked for at Oregon State. He didn't like fighting, and he made me kind of go through the athletic director to get it approved to be able to fight. The athletic director thought it was great, so I was golden there. But the head coach didn't really care for it. He kind of forced me to make a decision when I told him, look, I need to take 3 weeks off and go train with this boxing coach or this guy's going to rip my head off.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, what are you going to do? You're going to be a fighter. You're going to be a coach, you know? And I'm like, well, they're kind of paying me more for this fight than you pay me for the whole damn year as a coach. So, you know, I'm pretty sure I'm going to make a run at this fighting thing. And ended up resigning as the coach at Oregon State.
Now, at this point, are you at Team Quest at this point?
No, this is long before Team Quest started.
Okay, so you hadn't even had...
This is 97.
97.
Team Quest didn't start until 2000, after the 2000.
So you hadn't even met Dan Henderson at this point.
Oh, I knew Dan. Dan and I started at the same time.
He was in your corner, right?
We'd been training partners and friends in wrestling forever.
Right.
On the national team, and you know, Dan made two Olympic teams. Dan and I had been friends for a long, long time. And we both kind of started fighting at the same time. When I went to Augusta for UFC 13, Dan was headed to Brazil for the Brazil Open fight. I was supposed to be on that card too. They ended up getting me in the UFC. And so they sent Tom Erickson down there with Dan to fight in the heavyweight division. And Dan fought in the lightweight division.
Tom Erickson's a big... We're going to have him on the podcast
the
in a couple
cat,
weeks. I can't wait to have him on.
El Gato Grande.
According to Phil McCorkle, Erickson still throws around like Mitrione McCorkle now. That's how strong of a guy he is.
No, he's a huge athlete.
Like Don Fry was saying, he trained with Erickson.
Yeah.
He was like...
Fry and I were teammates at Oklahoma State.
Oh, nice.
His senior year was my freshman year.
You guys friends?
And we were good friends.
I
we
like
were the
Fry.
Two guys on the team that were married at the time. So we hung out together. And Tom Erickson was one of our graduate assistants that worked out with the big guys, the heavyweights.
Oh, wow.
And Don and I were... I was 190. Don was heavyweight for most of the year. I ended up having to wrestle Don for my spot on the team at the end of the year at 190.
Was Fry the same way as he is now?
He's always
like,
been
he's
that
just
way,
like,
yeah.
I hate liberals. And
oh, yeah. Went to Farrier School. He was a horseshoer. He was a fireman. I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, because I...
One of the reasons why we get along. You
I love Fry. I just did a video with him. He did my latest roast video, and he's like, "When's it up, pussy?" Like I could just... I always read his text in his voice.
Yeah.
He's so damn funny. So you end up... So Vitor Belfort comes out. Now, I mean, at this time, at what point of the fight did you kind of figured, I can break this kid? He's 20 years old.
Well, I figured that going in. That was our game plan. I was just coming off the World Championships for wrestling. In 97, it was the best I'd ever done. I placed ninth at the Worlds in Greco, and so I was in great shape. I'd been working with this boxing coach on my footwork and my approach, watched everything he'd done, and everybody was scared and intimidated by him and stood in front of him, which allowed him to start with that left hand and just blow through guys. And I'm like, I'm not standing around waiting for that.
Yeah.
I'm going to move and circle and make him catch up with me and then close the distance fast and try and get my hands on him. I want to make this guy wrestle me. If I can make this guy wrestle me, I think he'll quit. I think I can make him quit.
And you did.
And
I mean, you could
tell. That's
basically
what happened. I took him down. I mean, pretty good scramble at the beginning. He ripped my shorts, almost ripped my shorts off of me.
Yeah, that was so funny.
Trying to take me down, and I ended up taking him down. We spent a few minutes on the ground, and we scrambled back up, and I just would not let him go. I attached myself to him with a collar tie, and I just was not going to give him any space to punch me. And about the 6.5 minute mark, I just felt him wilt.
Yeah, you could tell.
It was like a somebody breaks like that, you can almost hear it. I don't know if you've experienced that in wrestling and had somebody break.
Yeah.
Mentally, it's
I've experienced
mental
that
thing.
In comedy.
but I felt him wilt. It wasn't that I was hitting him that hard, but I was hitting him a lot and just wouldn't let him breathe.
When I watched that back, it looked like a 19-year-old phenom boy fighting a man who had just kind of was like, "Listen, buddy, it's not your time yet," you know.
Yeah.
No, later when Vitor trained with you guys at Extreme Couture, right?
Mm-hmm. He trained with us in Extreme Couture in Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, fast forward 10 plus years from then.
Was he cool back then with you?
Absolutely. Always got along. We even got along back then. And then, you know, when I cut down to 205, it was the first times he cut down to 185. And we were both fighting at Mandalay Bay, and he was kind of following me around, trying to learn how to cut weight and how did I do it and all that. So we'd been friends. He was such a nice guy.
Seems like a nice guy.
And an amazing athlete.
Seems like a nice guy, amazing athlete. It's just I just wish that that whole TRT and the steroids, it's like he didn't need it. I don't think he was on it back then.
I think the rumor from the first fight was, if you look at him historically, he was 180, 190 pounds. When I fought him, which was within the time frame of a year, he was at 226. Oof. When I fought him.
Okay.
And his traps almost touched his
ears.
He looked pretty fast.
I think he was getting some pretty bad advice from the guys that were handling him and managing him at that
time. The guy even said, "I'm watching the fight," and the guy goes, "They got the same build." I'm like, "What are you? what are you talking about? Hopefully, you're not judging this fight. Are you crazy? Same build.
Are you farsighted in one eye and nearsighted in the other?"
This guy's traps were bigger than my biceps. Yeah. The things on his neck were just huge.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable. Now that second fight, unfortunately, the whole eye thing when your eye got cut.
That sucked. To go a training camp like that and feel really good going into that fight. And it was the first time they kind of made the whole show, you know, Supernatural and the posters and everything was about that as the main event. Super Bowl weekend in Las Vegas. I mean, it was a big deal.
It's a big weekend.
And then the main event was 25 seconds. I got grazed by a straight left. Slipped it to close the distance. But the glove at that time wasn't rolled. The seam was open like this. They adapted and changed the gloves after this fight.
Yeah.
And it just grazed my eyelid and sliced my eyelid from top to bottom.
Oof.
So my eyelid rolled up.
Yikes.
And my eye slammed shut. And I couldn't figure out because there was no blood, but I could not open my eye.
Yeah.
And so I'm in the clinch with him against the cage, and I'm like, something's wrong. I can't open my eye. It will not open. Oof. And John sees me.
Yeah,
McCarthy, being the amazing ref that he is, sees something's wrong. So he stops the fight and has the doc come in. Well, the doc does this. And the second she does that, the blood just came bubbling out of there.
Oy.
And she's like, that's
over.
It.
And you're pleading with her. Come on, don't stop it.
Yeah, it's probably a good thing that she did because
I
don't think I would have been able to see.
A lot of fighters, though, would still be like, oh, it stopped? And I got a paycheck? Great, I'm done. You know?
And your eyelids are the, you know, they're kind of the windshield wiper of your eye. So it took nothing like having stitches in your eyelids.
Oh, boy, yeah.
And they leave these long stitch tails out so they don't scratch your eye. So I had these two sets of long tails on my peripheral vision for 9 days after that, 10 days.
But that third fight with Vitor
was probably how the second one was headed.
I've never seen a beatdown. I'm watching this fight last night. Randy has white shorts that were completely red with this guy's blood.
More Rocky stuff. You have a very Rocky-like career.
My sponsor, my very first sponsor was Howard's Combat Kimonos, HCK. Howard's a great guy. He lives here in El Segundo and a great guy. Handshake deal, and he always upped it. As I grew, he always up my sponsorship, and that was he said, "Man, I'm coming out with white shorts. Will you wear white shorts?" I'm like, because I always wore red. And, yeah. And I'm like, "Yeah, Howard, I'll be happy to wear your white ones. That'd be great." So I wore white shorts anyway. For that fight. And a buddy, second round, cutting him a couple of times with elbows, and he was just a mess.
I mean, drenched with red. And the guy's like, "I don't know whose blood that is. You don't know whose blood? What about the guy whose eye is out of his fucking socket?" And the other guy, I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, it was completely red. Yeah. I was like, holy.
Howard called me Monday. He's like, "Please tell me you didn't wash those shorts."
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm like, "No, you can have them, Howard."
Oh, wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was sick. That was, I mean, it was almost like you're like, "Please stop the fight because this guy might, I mean, he was just, he might run out of blood."
Right.
Like, he might not
it's
have.
Really that bad.
It was unbelievable. And this is Vitor Belfort. This is not like right. me or you Randy's beating up.
Right.
I mean, right. He's beating up one of the baddest men alive. You yeah. know. So by the way, I know the fight's going to be over by the time it airs. Weidman Belfort, who do you like?
Man, a very interesting fight. Both guys, you know, and you brought up the TRT and all that, and I don't think we've really seen Vitor compete since the loophole was closed. But he looks amazing. His training camp, I'm friends with Jake Bonacci, who trains him in Florida, and his training camp looks like it's been phenomenal. He's an amazing athlete. He's always had an issue dealing with wrestlers.
Yeah.
So
Weidman is an amazing wrestler.
Yeah.
And if Weidman can get a hold of him and put a little doubt in his mind early on, He has a chance to do and have a good night. If Belfort sticks and moves and uses that explosive athletic ability, and his wrestling has gotten a lot better. He's been working on a lot. When he trained with us at Extreme Couture, he was spending a bunch of time with his wrestling. He had one of my old coaches, Kenny Monday, working out with him in Florida for a long time, and his wrestling game is really up, so it'll be interesting. So it's tough to pick a winner. I think it's going to be a very competitive fight. It's kind of going to be who imposes their will, like any fight.
Yeah. Right.
But I think they're so evenly matched that.
Yeah, that was a mistake, I think, of the Black Zayans getting rid of Kenny Monday.
I don't know all the details of what was going on, but I think Kenny had some other things he was trying to do back in Oklahoma too. He started his own, you know, the Battleground organization and a bunch of things going on.
So. Now he's with Hendrix again.
Is he with Johnny?
Yeah, and Johnny said that he doesn't even. He used to train over at OSU for his fights, and he's like, we got Kenny here. And Kenny's showing us wrestling for MMA stuff versus like going – he's like, "I'm wrestling with college wrestlers, but it's great, but it's not getting me ready for my fight as well as a guy like Kenny Monday."
Yeah.
You know, because there's wrestling and then there's wrestling for MMA.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, because it really like – I mean, you know, me and Randy being these amazing wrestlers as we are there's really only like
you wouldn't understand it the way me and Randy do.
You know, me and Randy have that in common. Yes. Me being a 4-time prep school state champ and Randy being an Olympian. But the thing
he
is,
he only
that,
fought against other girl prep schools.
So yeah, I was the king of the Catholic girl prep schools. There's only about like I would say 4 or 5 or 6 moves that really translate over from wrestling. I mean, there's doubles, the singles. You know,
can I ask you something? Sprawl. As a wrestler, were you excited to be able to let your hands go?
It was foreign to me. Other than that, 3 weeks training in boxing in the Army, I was never a fighter. I was never a street fighter.
Yeah.
I was in 2, maybe 3 fights all through school and up to that point. So fighting was never a big. I was always on the mat wrestling.
Yeah.
So I'd never had anybody punch me or try to punch me. Really, I'd never been in those kinds of fights. So that was something I really had to get used to, both punching somebody and being punched. And
well, that's different than what I would have thought. Because it seems like as a wrestler, you would have been like, "Oh, and now I guess."
Well, a lot of wrestlers fall in love with it and they abandon
the wrestling.
It seemed like the thing about you, Randy, is that you always had a really good strategy. Except for the little Nog fight. I would say almost.
I probably should have made him wrestle me more. But, he's such an amazing submission guy.
He's a good boxer, though, too. It's almost
that
like
that I thought I would be able to outdo him in the boxing portion of that fight.
Right.
And obviously, going into that fight, he'd been knocked out a couple times. Everybody was questioning his chin. Obviously, I hit him with everything but the kitchen sink, and he was still standing there smiling at me.
But a 5-round
fight,
you're
like, "What happened to all this doubt?
Go away!"
But a 5-round fight, you probably would have won that fight because you ended up on top of the third. It was momentum was swaying your way.
But I should have made him wrestle me more, especially clinch and Greco, which was.
It seemed like guys had no answer for that. Yeah. One of my favorite fights you had was against Tito, because Tito was this young, hot. Buck. It was like everybody was there. Was like, it was almost like they were bringing you in as like the crossroad fight of like, okay, out with the old,
the new. No, I remember this fight distinctly.
And you beat him up so bad. I mean, you just kept taking him down, You had him hurt, almost finished him.
Yeah, I was surprised. He has a face like Teflon because I hit him with elbows and he never cut. He never, I felt an internal struggles. Like he was on the edge of giving it in, and then he'd growl and get pissed at himself and come storming back, and he just wouldn't give it up but you know, I think a lot of people thought I was done at that point.
Yeah.
I had lost the two fights. My third fight was supposed to happen on that contract, was supposed to be Andre Arlovsky in the heavyweight division. And the whole rhubarb with Chuck and Tito had been going on. And Chuck was the number one contender. Tito was the champ. Tito said, nah, we're friends. I'm not fighting him. Rumors were, Chuck had beat him in the training environment. That's why he doesn't want to fight him. He won't give him a shot. They were in the process of stripping Tito. They wanted an interim championship fight. And so here I was, a three-time heavyweight champ. No, two-time at that time. I hadn't won a third one yet. They said, we want you to fight at 205 instead of fighting Orlovsky, who just hurt his hand. I'm like, okay, I can make 205. So I come down and fight Chuck, which I think they thought, this is going to legitimize Chuck. We'll make Chuck the interim champ. Tito will be out, and Chuck will be our new guy. And then it obviously didn't go that way.
And
can get rid of this asshole Couture finally. It'll be his third loss in a row. We'll drop him. He'll retire. And then
you're like herpes. You always pop back up. Always. So, you're like, where'd it go? I'm free. Oh, there it is.
Well, I was telling him before. I was like, you know what? You're on so many movies now. And you're dancing with the stars. And this TV
Even
show.
Even your Wikipedia page now lists you as an actor.
It's like.
Good.
And former MMA.
But it's like you're so.
And I'm like, I don't think so. Well, this guy is a fighter.
Well, he's always smiling. You're like, basically, he's like the Ice Cube of fighting. Where like Ice Cube is like, that's the guy from
NWA.
But he's like, now he's in like, Daddy, are we there yet? Exactly. This movie, you forget that he was this fucking killer back in the day that like, you know, would fucking murder you and shit.
But he had that family comedy on TBS.
Yeah,
it's like from producer Ice Cube.
Yeah, right.
One of the original.
Yeah, so Randy. Basically, because I was like, holy shit, So at the end, right, Tito goes for a knee bar in the fifth.
Mm.
You escape it, and you start spanking him in the ass.
Well, there's 30, 40 seconds left in the fight. Obviously, he's in kind of panic mode because he knows he's kind of lost every round. And so he tries to roll. We're in a scramble. He tries to roll for a knee bar. I can't get my foot out, but I slip it, so he's below my knee. There's no joint lock. And I'm kind of sitting there on his butt. Looking, all I can see is his ass. And it's one of those moments you could never plan, but it just pops into my head.
You didn't train with him?
Bad boy, okay. I start spanking him. And his corner screaming, he's tapping. I'm like,
he's tapping.
John McCarthy, fortunately, knows exactly what
I was worried. I was like, what if that would have been a tap? That would have been like the dumbest mistake in the history of sports.
Yeah.
If they would have called that a tap.
John, John
wouldn't, but someone like Mazzagatti or Kim Winslow, you might have had like a 50-50 chance that would have been a tap.
So I'm not sure Tito even knew till later what had happened.
Oh, he was so angry. He gets up. See. He was fuming.
Yeah.
And you were so calm and collected for that fight. It was that was one of my favorite fights. That first Chuck fight was great. Now the second and third, it seemed like a couple times. The second one, I was watching it. You got thumbed in the eye.
Yeah.
Which
was an MO that Chuck had at that time.
Really?
When he punches, he kept his thumbs up. You look at the Vernon White fight. Tito complained that he got poked in the eye, and I actually talked to the official going into the fight. I said, well, look, there's a couple guys that are complaining that when Chuck punches, he's poking him in the eye with his thumb. Please keep an eye on that. And then, of course, that happens.
Right.
So now I'm just coming off of the eye surgery and everything else. So it was one of the only times in a fight that I kind of got a little pissed off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God damn it.
All these fights.
And so
this is the one time you got
I came out strong after they started the fight up again. I tried to throw a big left hook and I completely missed. He stepped to the side, just put him in perfect position, and he freaking cracked me.
Yeah, and I was like, I was wondering, I'm like, if he hadn't got thumbed in the eye, this fight might have went a little differently.
It's hard to say.
But, and even the third fight.
That's the only time I've ever been knocked out.
And even the third fight, you slipped.
I slipped in my own blood.
You slipped in your own blood.
Yeah. Cracked me in the nose. My nose is gushing. And the paint, you know, for the logos they put on there. The canvas isn't slippery, really. And you actually want it a little wet because then you grip it. But the paint gets any sweat or anything on it, and it's slick. Yeah. And so I went to move and slipped on my own puddle of blood.
Yeah, and then he caught you. And I'm wondering, I'm like, fuck, man, this guy, those are two unlucky breaks. And you never want to go parallel universe shit. But it's just like, man, if he hadn't.
You can't live that way. Coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Things
happened.
Worked out. They worked out the way they worked out.
Yeah.
You know, that was a very kind of rough patch for me in my life. I was going through my second divorce, and you know, there was a baby involved, and it drug on for 2 years. Walking into that second fight, I didn't cut a pound. I was 203.
Wow.
Walking into weigh-ins. That was a hot mess.
Well, it didn't stop you because you come back, and we're going to talk. We're going to talk to Tyron Woodley and Jake Ellenberger. We have a press conference with these two guys right now. But then we're going to come back, and I got so many more questions, man. This is like the greatest birthday ever.
Yeah, no
I get
kidding.
To spend
you're
it with,
the greatest. Yeah, happy birthday to you.
Thanks. I got a beautiful Mindy laughing, and this is, by the way, Mindy Robinson. If you guys, she has a great show on TBS, right? The Nerd Show,
King of the Nerds.
King of the Nerds on TBS. You can see her on that. Check her out. Beautiful girl.
Pom-pom
follow her
kitty.
On Twitter. But what is it?
She's Pom Pom Kitty on King
She's
of the Nerds.
She's Pom Pom Kitty.
I'm Mr. Pom Pom Kitty.
Why is it creepy when you say it like that?
Because I'm sleeping with Pom Pom Kitty.
She's I know, yeah. She's Pom Pom Kitty.
By the way.
You can tell. Right? It comes right out of you. And I'm Mr. Pom Pom Kitty.
It's not creepy, but you know what is creepy? Walking around with a smelly ass. So, guys, Dude Wipes is exactly what you need to make your ass refresh.
Get rid of those dingleberries. Really?
You have no idea. Honestly, for years I was wondering why girls were not calling me back, and now I know. It's because my ass stunk.
But thanks
to Dude Wipes, I have chicks lining up, as well as Hemp Core. I have been working out, and I'm telling you, this Hemp Core, 100% hemp, great protein. It's unbelievable. I have never felt better in my life. And that's true. I normally lie, but that is totally 100% true. I actually feel really good thanks to HempCore, as well as if you have a store and it has been vandalized, people in Baltimore, I know there's people probably have lots of vandalized stores there. Other places, by the way, I have a solution to that. Legalize weed.
I agree with that.
Because you legalize weed, no one's going to go destroy a CVS if you're stoned. You're going to go there.
Too tired, too lazy.
You're going to end up going there and getting Toy Story 2 and some ice cream.
Now McDonald's might go down.
McDonald's might go down.
They're going to raid it for all their pies.
So removeitrestoration.com. Removeitrestoration.com. We are calling Tyron Woodley and Jake Ellenberger. I'll catch you guys up. So 2 weeks ago, Jake Ellenberger was very upset because he wanted to fight Tyron Woodley in his next fight, July 4th weekend in Vegas. He said Tyron did not want the fight. He got off. Dana called him up, said he didn't want it. He says Tyron picks his fights. He says instead of being the chosen one, he's the choosy one. Now,
little wordplay.
Okay, and then Tyron Woodley came back and then called Jake Turkey Burger. On Twitter. So here we are today. We have Turkey Burger versus the choosy one on the call. Let's talk to him.
Let's try it. So we're calling Jake right now.
Yes. Turkey Burger.
Turkey Burger. That's pretty funny.
Hello.
Hey, Jake, what's up? It's me, Greg Wilson, and Randy Couture.
Whoa, what's up, guys?
How are you?
How are you, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How about you?
Good. Good. So we're getting ready to call Tyron Woodley.
Randy, it's an honor, man. I'm really bummed I missed today, but...
Oh, no worries, man. Thanks. I understand you have a new nickname now called the Turkey Burger.
Oh, that's great.
Randy just jumps right out there.
So we're called Woodley, right?
All right, Jake, you all good, man? Jake.
What's up?
You all good, man?
Oh, yeah, I'm great.
All right, cool. I'm going to hit up Tyron right now.
Some podcast.
this should be interesting.
Yeah, it should be good.
That's kind of what we were thinking.
Yeah.
I mean to jump right in and stir the pot right off the bat.
The turkey burger. Ready when you are.
Hello.
Hey, Tyron Woodley.
What's up, brother?
Hey, it's me, the Greg Wilson, Randy Couture, and Jake Ellenberger on the podcast.
What's up? See, I was going to answer in my Myrtle McNabel voice, but I walked into a daycare, so that probably would have been appropriate.
Oh, yes, that definitely wouldn't have been good. By the way, congrats on your fourth baby, by the way. Congrats on everything.
I appreciate it.
So, all right, getting down to business. So, to keep up to date, so a couple weeks ago, Jake came on the podcast and said that you were offered to fight Jake. He was offered to fight you. Jake said, sure, great, I would love to fight him. And then you said, and according to Jake, you didn't want the fight.
Yeah, you know, just to share some light on that, you know, sometimes, one, not factual. Not at all factual. Number one, a lot of times people are offered fights. Like I was offered a Johnny Hendricks fight July 11th. They offered me that fight. And I said, well, I'm technically not healed. I'm technically not supposed to fight. But if you guys promise me that fight, I'll do my best to be back on that date. They said, okay, don't say anything about it because we haven't offered him the fight yet. So they offered him the fight. He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. Dana and Joe made me, you know, pretty confident that they thought he was going to take the fight. And then a couple of days, maybe like a week later, they called and said, hey, Johnny wants to wait. He wants to wait and see what happens in the Rory McDonald, Robbie Lawler fight. I'm like, damn, when did we get the option to wait? I said, so he can just chill out and wait on the fight? I said, he fought 4 months before, probably won't fight 4 months after, 8 months. So then they started rattling off. They said, they never said, hey, do you want to fight Jake Ellenberger? They said, well, what about Jake Ellenberger? I said, I was never pushing to fight on July 11th. I never said, hey, guys, I want on this card. It's the Conor McGregor card. I'm pumped up. I want to fight. Everybody's going to be watching. They asked me when I was going to be ready to fight. I told them the end of July, beginning of August, which was kind of aggressive, being at the time I had surgery. And then when they offered their fight, they said, well, I know you said the end of the month, but what if we push it up 2 weeks and we get a fight? Would you be ready for that? I said, shit, I don't know, but I'll do everything in my power to do it. So that's where that came about. And then, you know, so I don't know where the disconnect came from. And then I didn't even see the tweets until, like, the last couple. And then DJ, Demetrius Johnson, he sent me a message like, what the hell is up with you and Jake? I'm like, what are you talking about? Then I look at my social media, I'm like, what the hell is going on? none of the tweets before had my handle on it.
Okay.
I guess they just have my name, so they didn't come to me.
Right. Jake, would you like to respond to this?
Well, you know, the frustrating part for me was when Dana had called me about the fight, and of course I was all about it. So, you know, it's not like, you know, Joe Silva sends you an email and says, hey, what do you think about this? It was, you know, it was a call from Dana. So that's what he was like, we want this fight. And I said, of course, you know, that's when I want that. Time wise worked out and even better with Woodley. So that's when they called me back the next day and it had told me that the fight was off, or that he wouldn't take the fight and it was off. But that's the only point I was trying to make.
What does the baby in the background think of this? Tyron?
He said what?
What does the baby in the background think? What does the baby think in the background?
Well, my babies think I'm the best in the world, as always. So they're down for me to scrap anybody. So the whole thing is, like, number one, if, like it sounds like, oh, I want to expose him and put him on blast. Yeah, you know what? People say I pick fights. You're right, I do pick fights. It just so happens that the fights I pick are the best guys in the world. Carlos Condit, Matt Brown, and Johnny Hendricks. I'm not picking bumps off the log or people that you know, don't make sense. And any time that I've not said, okay, this fight doesn't make sense, it's because it was Hector Lombard. No matter what drama, whatever happened, he's a part of American Top Team. And I got to believe that anybody who's within a gym that you train in, it's better for you guys to fight somebody else so y'all both can go to the top. And now if we fight for a world title, I told Nanny this. I said, if I'm the champ or he the champ, don't even ask me. Just send me the bout agreement. I told him that. So me picking fights, maybe I do pick fights, but I think in this business, you got to fight the fights that make sense for you to, one, make the most money, two, get the closest to a world title, and, you know, think about how many fights I've had in the UFC. I had 7 fights in the UFC, and I'm the number 3 welterweight in the world. That's not on accident. That's by design. Jake Shields, even though I lost that fight, former title contender. Koscheck, former title contender. Carlos Kind, former title contender. Even Roy McDonald, current title contender. Win or lose or draw, I'm putting myself in position with a risk match reward. You know, and at the time, you know, I think it's a flip-flop. Before I got to the UFC, Jake was in a position where he was in the top 3, top 4 in the world. And, yeah, I would have been trying to fight Jake at that time because it would have made sense for me to elevate myself and go up to the next level. And it makes sense. He wanted to fight me or wanted that fight that he was offered that I wasn't even offered. The same reason why I want to fight Johnny Hendricks. If he beats me in a fight, he moves ahead and he gets himself right back in the title picture. You know, I don't. I'm in the same spot.
Jake?
Well, to that point, I think the rankings are Mickey Mouse rankings. They don't mean a fucking thing.
They are Mickey Mouse rankings.
To discredit, I was in the top 5 for 3 years, and I was in the top 10 for 5 years. So to say you're not going to, you know, take in fights against the best guy, oh, like Matt Brown, like these guys, the rankings is such a crock of shit. Ask Randy, he probably would agree.
But that's how you get a title shot.
All right, so Randy, you've been around for a long time. What are your thoughts, Judge Randy?
If you look at what Conor McGregor, how many did he jump past to get a title fight right now? And that goes against the rankings if we're solely going by rankings.
That's true.
I understand Tyron's point in that, does it make sense for him as the number 3 ranked guy to fight the number 9 ranked guy? It makes a lot more sense for the number 9 ranked guy to want to fight the number 3 ranked guy to take a spot, to move up. If you're going solely by rankings, I think more to the point in what Tyron said is the fact that if you're giving me a title fight, I'll bust my ass and try to be healthy enough after surgery to take that opportunity because it's staring me in the face. And then you turn around couple days later and say, hey, you know, the title fight's not going to happen. Hendricks doesn't want to do it now. How about fighting the number 9 ranked guy? Maybe I'm not going to be able to bust my ass so much to fight the number 9 ranked guy to try and get healthy. Give me an extra month and I'll be healthy and fight him then. That's kind of what I took from what I just heard from both guys. So I think both guys are...
It was like you saying, hey, man, I offered you, you know, I might be able to get you this Mercedes-Benz. Which would be a fight that no question, no way we're going to fight each other and the person not going to merge the number 1 contender fight next. And now, we might not get you a Mercedes-Benz. We're going to put you in a different type of luxury vehicle. No, you told me a Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah.
But I think the point is
everybody's a top fighter.
Of timing.
I can find a guy that's ranked 25th. Tyron, give me a fucking
Tyron,
match.
What about you calling him Flake Turkey Burger? what about you calling him?
To be honest, I'm glad. I apologize to the viewers, number 1, because my time frame is all cracked out.
Yeah.
And I never miss podcasts. I never miss interviews. So I apologize to the people that was looking for that. But I think it was a blessing in disguise because I thought me and Jake was on a point where we were like associates. So it's kind of like, what's going on? So I was ready to go Ferguson. I was ready to come on the podcast and stuff. But then I started thinking about it. I'm like, what Jake is doing is not so much different than what I'm trying to do.
Might be too soon for that reference.
I'm
going
to go Ferguson.
Like, literally. Like, I was like, you know what?
But so I understand Jake's point, too, and that the rankings are.
I'm really doing the same exact thing to Hendricks. And also, like even when I fought Carlos, you know, and it just bit me in the butt. But I fought Carlos and I said, I heard you want a rematch. I said, you know what? When you were the number 1 fighter, he was the number 1 contender at the time. I called him out. It made no sense for him to fight me. I was ranked 10th in the world. He fought me. It was a big risk. It was no reward for him. And he lost, and he got injured and sat out for a year and a half. I said, you know what? You didn't have to fight me, so I heard you want a rematch. Let's talk about it. You know, so I put it out there that I understand.
And here's the problem, and I think that Jake's point is the problem with the rankings. If you're going to use rankings, then go strictly by the rankings.
Right.
A Conor McGregor fight shouldn't happen. He shouldn't be jumping four people.
Yeah,
but that's a business decision. UFC's trying to put a great fight on. Jake Ellenberger and Tyron Woodley would be a great fight.
Yes.
I deserve to fight.
So,
We have Conor McGregor here.
If we're
going
to throw the rankings to the side, then throw the rankings to the side, but don't then hold
sometimes
people to the rankings.
Sometimes greatness cannot be determined by a number.
If you're going to throw the rankings to the side, just throw them to the side, period.
Yeah,
don't selectively use a ranking.
Because they use
when
them when it's convenient
talk,
for them, and they discard them when it's convenient
fight
for them.
Couldn't fight because of the rankings.
Okay, so everybody here wants to fight the rankings. That's basically what we're going here. So we all came on the show to fight the rankings. So now you said, Tyron, okay, let's say you win your next fight, Jake wins his next fight. You guys want to coach against each other on the Ultimate Fighter? That was you said? Possibly?
I'm down.
Jake?
But the thing is, this is what we got to figure out. My last two victories were against top 10 welterweights, okay? My loss, my only two losses were two guys that are top 10 welterweights, you know? So the part of my logic is that it's not saying Jake's not a good fighter. It's not saying Rich Story's not a good fighter or Jordan Meehan or all these guys that are fucking studs. The styles make fights. Rankings really don't mean. Look at Dong-Yun Kim. Dong-Yun Kim is ranked, what, 10th? You know he beat Matt Brown, right? And he beat Nate Diaz. And he beat Carl Parisian. And his only two losses before then was Maya and Carlos Conner. With both fights, he kind of got caught with a knee, caught with an armbar. And he's ranked 10. The rankings are freaking a joke. So but if that's what people are telling me when I'm talking to them about fighting for a title shot, and they're like, okay, this, and this person ranked this, and this person got to fight this. The UFC, this is the toughest division in the world by far. The UFC, in my opinion, get too greedy with the matchmaking. They want to make so many top welterweight bouts happen that everybody get out of sequence. Like, I feel like Matt Brown and Carlos Condon should have fought. And then maybe me and Johnny should have fought. And then maybe, you know, shit, maybe freaking Thiago Alves and Jake or somebody. That way you always have a consistent challenger emerging from those bouts. Not saying that Joseph ain't in his job or saying I'm a matchmaker, but it's not all about what makes sense and it's not all sport. This is some entertainment. Yeah. Hey, this guy... the big sale in Brazil. Let me fucking throw
so
him
will you
Brazil
come to LA
like,
and get so will you come to LA and get Jake ready for Stephen Thompson so that he can then fight you?
You what?
Will you come to LA and get Jake ready for Stephen Thompson, which he's gonna win, but then he can
you
fight
know,
you
that's
after?
That's a funny thing. I'm like part of the inside thing is I'm like, you know, people have asked me to help train them for Jake, and I said no. Not because, I mean, I'm not going to fabricate as me and Jake are best friends and, you know, we had kids' birthday parties and we freaking send pen pal letters. But I would say we were decent associates. We trained together. We respect each other. And that really, if we really wanted to fight and we want to make some money, we're not going to get pay-per-view buys. So we can sell a fight till we blow in the face. We're getting what we signed to get. But if we're going to do something, let's do it big. Let's make a big fuss about it. Let's get some money off of it. And let's make the UFC honor it and treat it the right way, not just, okay, Tyron is injured. He, like, and just so you everybody know, I'm not even clear to fight. Like, I can't even spar yet. So the thought of me fighting somebody that's not a world title contention fight, like, I was going to fight Johnny injured because I'm that confident I can beat him. And I know that in that fight, on the same night of the world title fight, I'm getting a title shot. So I was going to do the Holy Trinity, cross my head, and go in there and try to take his head off. That was my game plan, you know. But I know the risk versus reward would match, you know. So now it's like, okay, give me all gassed up. Like, I never asked for that date.
Well, Jake has a baby on the way. Do you have any tips?
They called me and offered me that date and that opponent. I never, you know, say, hey, man, what day are we going to fight? They say, hey, what if we can get you guys in this fight? I mean, so it's like, it's funny that all of a sudden – they offered this bout, and then it's like, what about this guy? And just so you know, they offered me two guys after that. So it's like, it's not nothing like I'm dodging fights or like, okay, where does this make sense for me at again?
All right, well, so how does this benefit? So Jake, anything you want to say?
Jake, is this your first kid,
like
Jake?
I said, for me, it was never like, oh, let's talk about this. It was like, here's a bout agreement. Jake signs a bout agreement. I have an agreement in place. That's why where there's the confusion. There's the, well, why would you even send somebody a bout agreement if this, you know, if both parties haven't agreed on it? So, of course,
this is your bout agreement.
Yes,
you got a bout agreement from Nevada.
What's that?
You got a bout agreement from Nevada?
From the UFC? Yes.
For me?
From Zuccaro.
How did you get a bout agreement from me and I never even agreed to the fight? That's silly.
What that?
I never even formally offered the fight.
That's the $1 million question right there.
that's a comical.
The plot thickens.
All right, I will admit it. I sent them the agreement. It was for me. It was.
You stole some letterhead.
Yes. All right, so that's the confusion. Right, so Jake got the bout agreement. Tyron's not ducking the heavy hitters like Jake thinks. Right, Tyron?
I'm one of the heavy hitters, if not the heaviest hitter. There's only two guys that probably can vouch that they can hit harder than me, and that's Johnny and Robbie. Robbie just has some stupid-ass malice for hands. and I will argue that maybe I punch as hard or not harder than Johnny. So I'm one of the heavy hitters, so how do I duck him? No, I fought him. Even in loss to opponents, I fought the top guys as well.
Jake?
I've
never fought the top guys. Carlos Khan is not the top guy, is he?
Dong Young Kim. I could beat Dong Young Kim with one arm.
Well, technically, like, for somebody, like, to say they fought the top guy, did you beat the top guys? Question mark. No. You lost three fights in a row, and you were about to get pink slipped. If you wasn't such blood buddies with Dana White, anybody else would have got cut. Please. And then you let Kelvin Gastelum in the top ten.
Let's talk about
Kelvin Gastelum in the top ten from your back getting rear necked up. And I embarrassed him.
I lose to a guy, Robbie Lawler, who you also turned down to fight. Hector Lombard, who you turned down to fight.
When did I turn down to fight? I was scheduled to fight Robbie Lawler. I never turned down Robbie Lawler. I was scheduled to fight him in Strikeforce. They canceled the show when he joined ATT.
Your teammates with everybody who hits hard. That's cool. Your teammates with everybody who hits hard.
That means we got a good team.
It's all good. And then you're going to talk to me after you get embarrassed by Rory. Like, I'm not a top fighter.
And what did you get by Rory? So you lost better to Rory than I lost to him. That's the stupidest statement I've ever heard. So you lose to a guy better. Okay. So you fought the top guys and you lost them all. So therefore, you want to try to fight me to try to get yourself back up to the top to lose again to constantly be the Pompey. So we're going to call you just a tip.
Yes.
You know, a flush beats is three of a kind, right? You know that.
Yes.
I was playing poker, and this guy actually thought a three of a kind beat a flush, just like when Woodley thought he beat Condit. But come on. The guy blew
his
hand.
And what did you do to Condit besides gas out and was just so happy to have a fight and never
He was beating Jake was beating Condit the whole time.
I thought he might even got the split decision. But unless you defeated the guy, don't say anything.
Well, I dropped him three times.
And what, you beat Nate Barcourt after he was off the TRT? Or you beat Jake Shields after his father died the week before? Like, please, dude. If you want to clown on me beating Carlos Condit, I was dominating him. He didn't win a millisecond of the fight. And
I didn't say you were beating him.
I would have done more of the same thing I was doing. He wasn't going to win that fight. And he didn't slip on a banana peel, bro. He got double leg and kicked in the leg. So if Chris Weidman check a kick, then he's glorious. But I kick a dude in the leg that I took him down and he hurt his knee. What, I supposed to ease up? No, it's a fight. Please. Yeah. And quite frankly, honest. Forget the common opponents. We've trained. You've never won a second of any training we've ever done. Ever. Even when I was an amateur. Like, be real, dude. Like, when I was an amateur coming to Portland, Oregon, never had a pro fight in my life, you couldn't buy a round, bro.
When's the last time
like,
we
be
trained?
For real. Like, and it doesn't even make sense. It doesn't even make sense for me to fight you because you're not even relevant right now. You're not in a position to fight for a world title.
Jake, so when you train with Tyron, who won? Or who's winning?
I'm trying to figure out when we've trained together. You tell me. We've never
trained. Okay. I didn't want to do this, but since we're already here, we're already on the line, we already got all this falsehood on the phone. I trained with you in Portland, Oregon. Matt Linden flew me out there. He told me he wanted me for our IFL team. And I get to Portland, Oregon, Chael Sonnen leaving, everybody's there, Herman Sherrill, freaking Nate Coy, everybody's there, right? So I'm like, damn, do you really need me for our IFL team? You got Nate Coy and freaking Ellenberger here. So I thought it was a tryout. I trained with you then. I trained with you at the Affliction Gym in Seal Beach on the wrestling mat where I threw you around like a rag doll.
Oh,
and then you had a jiu-jitsu tournament in St. Louis where you were trying to get out of the same weight class as me, and then you lose a grappling match to a JUCO guy that wasn't even a starter, and I owned him in the next round.
In a jiu-jitsu tournament?
Yeah, like dude, like in any aspect of striking or wrestling or jiu-jitsu, you've never won a round, like ever. So, like, I don't understand where this macho stuff is automatically coming from.
It's
like,
not a macho.
You got my number, dude. I text you. Unless your number changes, I text you. You don't even text back.
Listen, stupid. I'm better than you everywhere. Striking? I don't even get your
I'm a two-time All-American wrestler and a Big 12 champion. You've never wrestled on a collegiate team.
You're right.
You've never taken me down. And you can ask Shannon Slack, and he'll vouch that you were always fine in the corner.
I will slump you. You won't sign the line in that
band. Guess what? You won't even get the chance because you're not in the title picture.
You won't
be two top 10 guys back to back and come talk to me. Matter of fact, don't even talk. You be two top 10 guys back to back. I'll sign a bond agreement on site.
Whoa.
Now what?
Okay, so Jake beat Stephen Thompson. You'll sign a bond agreement on site?
Stephen Thompson is not in the top 10.
Oh, okay.
And guess what? You need to focus on him because I don't even believe you're going to beat him.
Okay, so Jake beats Thompson.
I will focus on the guy in front of you. Why are you worried about me?
Well, no, let's
fight.
Here we go.
I'm worried about him.
When my ranking goes up and your ranking goes down and I go above you, then will you take the fight? You probably still won't, but whichever.
Well, let me tell you a secret. What you've done in 14 fights, I've done in 7. And while I'm the world champion, and as long as you keep buttering up to Dana White trying to be his best friend, you'll remain in the UFC.
Right.
You'll constantly get to the top, overpump yourself up, not focus on the fight at hand, lose, bump down, and continue. You will always be building yourself back up. And that's just facts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. I got a flush. Three of a kind, buddy.
Well, guys, listen, this has been awesome. I want to see this fight.
I wasn't even going to take it there. I came on the show to be cordial, but then you want to try to dig, like, silly comments, and it's like,
I
never got a bond agreement, brother.
All right, so Jake got a bond agreement. You didn't. That was a confusion. Both you guys have a great weekend.
From your boss, Dana White. We talked on the phone, so that's why he didn't like, Jake's trying
guys,
to
but the confusion could have been easily solved. You got my number, Jake. If you're really about that life, bro, hit me up. You got my number. You never text me. When I replied to you, you didn't reply. I was offered you one time ever, not three. And you know about the time I was offered you. That's when you fought Nate Marquardt. That was the only time I've ever been offered a fight against you. They said, what about Jake? Like, hey, as a peace offering, we had you all pumped up. You were getting Johnny. We're sorry. He don't want to take the fight. But what about Jake? It was never, hey, we want to make this fight. We want you and Jake Ellenberger. They didn't even sweat when I said that fight don't make sense. What do you mean, what about Jake? Jake just beat freaking Koscheck, who me, Robbie, and Johnny tenderized for him.
I think whoever takes Hemcore is going to win.
Nice plug. You're going to need dude wipes afterwards.
You're going to need dude wipes afterwards.
You guys are great, man. You guys are sharp as a tack. This is something else.
Hemcore.
Listen, guys, this has been awesome. We got to get back to Randy. This has been awesome, though. Listen, so next week we're going to have you back on again, Tyron and Jake. Jake will be back in the studio.
Well, Jake don't want to.
Randy.
I'm almost embarrassed that we even got to this point because we both are professionals. We both are top welterweights. The fact that we're on here bitching like the women is silly. Number two, like, if you got a bout agreement, the same way when Joe Silva was asking me to fight you, I text you. I said, hey, I just left from training at Rain a week ago. Jake, he's really pushing for me to fight. What are your thoughts on it? Do you want to fight? Do you not want to fight? You know, I'm not going to always be able to pick these fights. Never heard back. Then I called Munoz. Munoz said, hey, they never offered you that. Whoa, this sounds like the same situation, right? They offered me you, but then they offer you Marquardt. So this happens. And then he said, no, we'd rather fight guys that aren't friends unless we have to get to the top. This is not a position where I have to fight Jake Ellenberger to get to the top. I'm at the top. I'm trying to get to the C. I'm trying to go from a number to a letter.
Exactly. You're going to sit here and discount me and discredit me. And it's like I could sit here and dissect every one of your.
Well, you took the first shot. I didn't even know about the fight. I heard about the fight afterwards. After DJ sent me a message about Jake Ellenberger
Jake, for the record, though, Jake, you weren't trying to get out of grappling against Tyron in a grappling tournament, right?
Course not. Why would I be a grappling match? Are you joking?
I mean, Jake's a brown.
Hey, I thought the weight class.
I thought the weight class was 195. I weigh 192. They're like, nah, bro, come on, we crossing everybody in the same division. Nah, don't try to go to another division.
I was told it was because you were supposedly a team body guy, but that's what I was told.
A lot of miscommunication going on here. All right, listen, guys, this is
anyway. this one has got way too heated. Never meant to be that way. Jake, I felt that me and you was cordial. I felt like it's business. If you wanted to fight and they offered you a fight the same way I did when they offered me you a long time ago in Montreal, you should have texted me. When I text you, you should have replied like, hey, man, they offered me you. I think it makes sense. I want to take the fight. I probably would have said, fuck it, let's do it, but I ain't going to do it on that date. Let's push you back. Let's do it in Nashville August 8th. Well, let's do it freaking somewhere else at another time. That's probably what I would have did. But it was like I was getting shots taken at me because you thought I got the agreement and declined.
Yeah,
but on the flip side, I didn't.
You didn't have a problem bashing me after I fought Lawler, though. That was for sure.
You said what?
I said you didn't have a problem.
Well, I'll bash you after you fought Lawler, but look, this goes childish. But what did you do before? You said you don't care about what happens between me and Rory. Who cares about that? Who's going to be excited and happy that he beat Carla Collin on me? I would be excited about that. Once again, you took the first shot. Like, I'm not that guy, man. I ain't always there. I'm still loading. Like, you can't come at me and think I'm not going to say nothing.
There's a lot of graffiti on
the
here.
The only reason the whole Hector thing went down the way it did because of Laborio and Dan Lambert. That's why we didn't talk and go all this stuff. It looks stupid for our team. The same way it kind of looks stupid on me and you right now. So I'm peacefully squashing it. If it makes sense for me and you to fight down the road for a business, I'll never fight with emotion. I never have beef with nobody. But if it makes sense to fight, we will fight. Best man win. I won't say all this. I won't throw it up in the face. I won't complain if I lose. It's a tough matchup either way.
So how do you feel about Jake? What do you think about Jake saying he's better than you everywhere, though?
You said what?
What do you think about Jake saying he's better than you everywhere?
I think to a certain degree, every fighter should think they're better than the person they're presenting
right.
with.
Okay, we got it.
I mean, I'm probably going to think I'm better than him everywhere.
Yeah,
you
got to think.
And sometimes you say things that heat him up. He probably pissed at what I said. I was pissed at what he said. You know, I'm going to be a bigger man. I said some stupid shit on the internet. I apologize. It was like I read it out of context because I didn't get the stuff before. He thought I was dodging fights and thought that, okay, this is the way to sell a fight. Let me do this. And realized quickly that I'm just not that type of dude. I'm not Conor McGregor. Like,
gotcha.
Like for me, well, like for my name and reputation mean a lot. Like it took forever for me to sit underneath the umbrella, going through all that drama with the dude from my team, and I had to sit there and I had to absorb it, you know. And it was nothing about being scared to fight. It was all like serious crap. So I apologize if I said some stupid stuff that, you know, made this conversation awkward, but I never turned down a fight based upon difficulty or being scared. This is a business. They can call it a sport all they want. This thing has basically transitioned to 100% business. This is no sport anymore.
That's what I was trying to say, though. Jay comes from a different era. Jay comes from the Randy era of you fight anybody, anywhere, anytime. Doesn't matter how big the guy is, 100 pounds bigger, 200 pounds bigger. You go in there and you fight. And that's
and that was rewarded then.
Jake's from the old school. He's from the old school. Tyron's an athlete, who's a great fighter, but he looks at things different as a business. And I think it's just too.
And I'm not asking for weak fights, like just straight on the record. Johnny Hendricks was probably the toughest fight for me in the division.
Yeah, I mean, calling out Hendricks.
He's probably my hardest matchup.
Absolutely. Listen, guys, we got to get going back to Randy. You guys have been great.
Amazing, guys. Both of you.
I'm telling you, you guys should do The Odd Couple, or at least do a buddy cop movie,
well,
Lethal Weapon Five remake.
See your homie Dana and get us on the tough show.
Absolutely. Well, take care, Jake. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
You guys have a great weekend.
All right.
All right.
What'd
you think of that, Randy?
No hot button topics there. Huh? Holy cow! Well, a lot more history there than we anticipated.
Yeah.
Obviously,
he dragged.
I think both guys have points, and I don't think, you know. Obviously, there's some emotions there, but I think that ultimately Zuffa is the one that uses the rankings when they want to use them and don't use them when it suits them as well. And that's creating some of these misconceptions about who should be fighting who and why is this guy getting a shot? He's only ranked this. And
they're offering one guy a fight, but not
then
the other.
You know, it boils down to business and Tyron's white, right? It is a business and you're not going to get, you're not going to, you know, you're not going to get a lot of shots.
That's why I love
Tyron. Was surprisingly verbose.
Oh, I love Tyron. They're both really good guys.
He had a lot to say.
Honestly, they're both really good guys. Jake's one of my best friends in the world. I'm always on Team Ellenberger. I understand what Tyron's saying. It's like I do. It's like this. It's like being. It's like me a comedy battle.
Yeah.
Me versus an open micer. Like, what do I have to win? Not that Jake's an open micer, but you want to
get
guys.
It's not that Jake isn't an amazing fighter, and I don't think that's what Tyron's saying. But again, they want to go strictly by the rankings. I get what he's saying. Look, I'm injured. If you're offering me Johnny Hendricks, which moves me up, I'll do my damnedest to get that opportunity. And they come back and say, "Oh, you know what? How about this fight? Well, that's a big risk, and I'm not 100% healthy.
Surgery.
You know."
And Tyron's looking at it as a business, though. And that's
of course Ellenberger. He's going to fight anybody they throw in front of him, even if it was somebody that wasn't ranked yet. He's still going to take that fight.
That's what he's doing with Thompson. I think Ellenberger's like, "Fuck, I got to fight a karate guy now." I think Jake will win, but it's a tough guy to fight. This guy, Steven, this guy jumps off is like a fucking ninja versus a guy, a number three guy. It's a tough situation to be in. It's not much of an up for Ellenberger, although Ellenberger's a fighter, and you put a guy in front of him, he'll fight. Speaking of which, you versus Brock Lesnar I watched that again last night, and, you know, when you're looking across the cage at a guy like Brock Lesnar, and you were, what, 44 at the time.
44.
This guy is 20-something years old.
A giant animal.
What the hell? What's going through your head?
I was 44. I mean, I trained for it. I knew what he looked like. I'd been around him. I'd seen him fight. It's not like you're intimidated. I knew what I was in for. I had brought a bunch of huge training partners in. That's a hard guy to mimic.
Yeah.
Not only because he's very large, but he's athletic as hell. He moves really, really well. He moves like a wrestler, and you don't find big guys that move like that. So getting guys to simulate him in the training environment was difficult. I felt like things were going the way I wanted them to go in that fight. And
the thing you
don't anticipate is how long. I mean, he looks so thick and so big, you don't realize how long his reach is.
Yeah,
and I would roll to slip that punch, and it just kept coming, and hit me right behind.
And the Brock Lesnar that fought you, that fought Frank Mir, was not the same Brock Lesnar that came back after the diverticulitis.
The diverticulitis.
It looked like he went into, once a fighter finds Jesus, I'm like, it's over.
Yeah.
I'm like, this guy, as soon as the guy says,
same with porn stars.
Yeah, as soon as they say it's not about winning or losing, it's about God, I'm like, it's bet on the other guy.
Yeah.
Because that was a different Brock. And I feel like Brock never actually reached his peak in fighting, you know. Same with Chuck Liddell. I think Chuck was obviously one of the best fighters of all time, but everybody that I knew was telling me I got fucked up with Chuck Liddell's story. People that weren't even like into fighting. People just randomly were like, "Oh, you're a fighter? There was a guy with the Mohawk that was fucking banging 17 strippers." I mean, and I was like, dude, this can't last forever.
Can
right?
I tell you, though, it seems like with fighters that either like you, like really calm and sweet, you know, just really not very, or just out of their minds, like, and party, coming at me, you know.
No, not anymore. The out of the minds guys are getting less and less.
Less and less. But it started with a lot of those guys.
But it seems like a lot of the guys from the old empire, the Mayhem Millers.
That's who I was thinking,
The Chuck Liddells, even the Tim Sylvia, these party guys. They can't do it anymore. I mean, you get maybe once in a while you get a guy like John Jones who can do it until he gets caught, but it seems like just you get now all of a sudden you got the whole Tyron Woodley era of great athlete, discipline, kids to feed, you know, three-time All-American wrestler in college.
He's a professional.
Yeah, the professionals. You know.
Yeah, I think we're obviously we're seeing a lot more professionals. This is what they do for a living.
Yeah.
It was still, I think, that first generation of fighters that, and I kind of came in at the cusp of the second generation of fighters. It was a lot less a profession. It was a little more fringe. It was a little wilder, and there were a lot more personalities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These kind of quirky, odd, funny. I mean, you talk
big
about
personalities.
Jimenez with one boxing. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there was a whole bunch more of that back then.
And it seems
now,
like
the level of athlete has gone way up. It's very, very competitive. You don't get a lot of shots. You don't get to make a lot of mistakes. Yeah. It's
well, I was talking to Phil Baroni about that also. How I was talking to Baroni, another guy from your gym, personality.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
He was saying how like how the UFC wants it to be like the brand, like the UFC's coming to town. UFC's care, like the circus, yeah. UFC. Versus before, it was like, when with Pride, it was like each fighter had their own, you know, like, and now I actually kind of missed, that's why I happen to like the Bellator walkouts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It takes me back to like the old school guys.
Yeah, the old flavor. It's got that old flavor. They're trying to make matchups and those type of fights, the bigger arena fights once a month that, people at the water cooler are going to talk about who do you think is going to win?
Kimbo
that?
Or yeah, Shamrock? Which is,
yo, wow. Remember yeah. that?
No, they're fighting again.
That's coming.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're fighting in 2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's coming.
They're
yeah.
fighting
that's
in 2 weeks.
So ridiculous.
Speaking of which, because we got to
like
wrap it up, which is crazy. Randy.
Did Kimbo learn how to fight yet?
No, it's going to be so stupid.
I remember watching his backyard brawl video.
Yeah,
he
no.
actually has and progressed. Then, he's continued to train.
Right.
He's gotten better.
But they put him in before.
Pro boxing in the gap here. He still continued to grapple and learn to fight and be more well-rounded. I think it's.
But when they first
the
put
question
him
is
in,
how much fight
ready.
Does Ken Shamrock have?
I just hope Shamrock doesn't stand and trade because it's gonna be a short night for Shamrock. And I feel like some like the thing about you, Randy, is that you never tarnish your legacy. And I wouldn't say tarnish, but you know, like I had some of these guys on my podcast, the Gary Goodriches and the Mark Colemans. These guys are such legends, so revered in their prime, even past their prime. Even Kevin Randleman, and then they get to a point where they're just taking fights for money. Or for the wrong yeah. reasons, and you see 6 losses. Jens Pulver, 8 losses,
yeah.
and yeah, you know they're making money, and someone could say, "Oh, I got to win over Jens Pulver." Like, oh, when? Oh, when he was 45 years old, and I just all the brain damage and shit, I don't want to. I hate to see that. Yeah. I hate to see.
Well, it might
you know,
be one of the more rational decisions I made in my life was to go out when I went out, and I was still winning. I was still competing
yeah.
at a high level, but. In my mind, was I going to be the number one guy in my weight class anytime soon? And the answer to that question was no, probably not.
Yeah.
So what am I doing? I've started this to be the best at it. I did that for a while. Was, you know, all that and realistically, was I going to be the number one guy in my weight class again? And I didn't think I was. And I didn't want to just keep grinding out another camp and fighting another fight just to cash a check, just to keep doing it. I have so many other things I want to do.
Oh, well, you're doing great. I mean, Expendables
yeah,
1 and 2. I look at your IMDb. You got all kinds of movies and TV yeah. shows. You got a beautiful girlfriend. I'm telling you, I mean, unbelievable. By the way, you came to my comedy show. You came to the Improv.
Oh, right on.
And
yeah,
I was like,
we had a blast. Absolutely.
That's great.
It.
No, he's the best, isn't he? I love Adam.
It was awesome. Great
it was so great seeing, and I'm like, Randy's here with his granddaughter. And I was like, is she going to get home before curfew? Everyone's looking.
You asked her a question. Where do you put it? And she's like.
yeah, she said she likes getting a nut on her chest. It was great. It was unbelievable.
Hey, that's championship legendary nut.
I'm telling you, man.
You should probably keep it.
Yeah, I hear you. She's a keeper, dude. by the way, who wins, you think? Prime Randleman, Prime Tito?
God. Such a tough matchup. They're both great wrestlers. Tito wins most of his fights with his wrestling. I mean, that's why I was able to beat him at Pull Down Wrestling 101. I was able to out-wrestle him. I think I'd probably go with Tito.
Really?
I think he would weather the early storm, he'd get his hands on Randleman, take some gas out of Randleman, and get him down. And
I think 5-round fight, Tito, 3-round Randleman.
Randleman didn't really learn the scrambling and how to use the jiu-jitsu or protect himself on the ground. That's what ultimately turned it around for me. He took me down and beat me the first 2 rounds. And I took him down in the third, and he was like a dying cockroach. He couldn't get up. So that was the difference in the fight.
Now, are you ever going to make up with Dana, you think, and come back to the UFC?
It's really up to Dana. I don't have an issue. I was doing what I needed to do to further my career. Signed a two-year deal with Spike TV for both scripted and unscripted television. The problem with Dana was that the first thing they wanted me to do was Fight Master, which trained fighters for Bellator. So he automatically went nuts and said I was working for the enemy and I worked for Bellator. I didn't have any deal with Bellator. Nothing to do with Bellator. It was a Spike TV gig.
Right.
Common misconception that I've ever worked for Bellator. I've been to 3 Bellators in my life.
That's to coach your son.
And now to coach my son. I've been a couple more. But at that time, I hadn't even been to a Bellator yet.
Yeah.
And so he blew that up, and it's all about him. And that goes back, because I've been fighting with him since they bought the company over ancillary rights and contracts and favored nation, all these kinds of things that we felt like I was entitled to because as their heavyweight champion. And I don't think they were that keen on having the 39-year-old heavyweight champion when they bought the company. And I think they kept putting me in fights they were sure I was going to lose, and I didn't. And I was still there. It was like, you know, a fungus they couldn't get rid of.
Herpes.
And they kept trying to get rid of me. And then I think finally came around to the notion and embraced it for that Belfort fight where they made it all, you know, the supernatural and all that stuff. And then obviously that didn't, you know, unbeknownst to us, that's just the way it went. And so, you know, we've had our rhubarbs, and they were all business things for me. They weren't emotional. They weren't personal. But Dana has a tendency to want to make them that way. You know, Tyron mentioned, you know, you just keep buddying up to Dana. That's a card that Dana will play. He wants to put his arm around you, make like your best friends. But when it comes down to making the business decision, there's a blurry line there that there can't be. It's a business thing.
Right.
And I was doing the best I could. For me, for my family, my career, I've done fighting. They weren't giving me anything really of getting to commentate on Fox 4 times a year.
Right.
$12,000
a pop. Which is ridiculous because you should be.
And trying to find acting jobs. And I'm like, look, give me something significant with the company. I'll stay with the company. But as much as I liked Fox and liked commentating with them, it still wasn't enough.
Right.
Yeah.
And so Spike offered me an amazing deal. A lot of respect for Spike. They're the first ones that had the balls to put us on TV when nobody else would touch us.
Yeah.
And they did amazing things with Tough, and they did amazing thing with the Ultimate Fight Nights and all the things that moved the UFC and the sport to where it is now.
Yeah.
So that's a good group of people to be involved with, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And so that's what it was all about for me. It had nothing to do with Bellator. It had nothing to do with dissing the UFC or anything, but don't come after me. And go ahead, come after me, but then don't put my family and my kids in the middle of it.
Right.
He didn't give my son a fair shake, and that that'll never be, you know.
Yeah,
it's not something I'm going to get over.
Well said. Listen.
Boy, you don't want Randy Couture on your ass.
Definitely don't want Randy. Well, listen, that is our podcast today. This is one of my favorite ones ever.
Wow. It was amazing. Amazing to hang out with you, to hear you talk, and to share your experience.
We had Jake and Tyron on.
That was great, too. Yeah, the beefing happened. And it finally really took off. At first, it was kind of dancing its way there, and then it finally spun up a little bit.
It was definitely a slow first three rounds.
And then you kept stirring. Turkey burger. Stirring the pot.
Oh my God.
I look at Randy, I'm like, he's just stirring the pot.
Well,
and then
listen.
You jumped in and did it too.
Well, thank you to all our sponsors. HempCore, you pick them up at HempCoreStore.com. That's HempCoreStore.com. As well as Dude Wipes. That's Amazon.com/Dude Products and RemoveItRestoration.com. Thank you guys. This week I will be in Chattanooga at the Comedy Catch. Friday night and Saturday night, 2 shows Friday, 2 Saturday.
Are we talking about the 29th, 30th? Like after this is going to end?
No. Oh, yeah. That was last week. Last week, maybe you've seen me at the Comedy Catch. Thank you for catching that. I appreciate that. Listen, thank you, Randy Couture. Thank you, Mindy Robinson. Where can people find you?
Yeah,
you can find
on top of Randy,
You can find Mindy on top of Randy.
I heart Mindy.
I heart Mindy. Thank you, Greg Wilson.
Yes, I will be at the Comedy Spot in Scottsdale, Arizona, 29th and 30th. Follow me on Twitter at the Greg Wilson.
Yes. Randy, where people find you?
Yeah, Randy_Couture on Twitter.
Yes.
XC Natch on Instagram and Randy Couture on Facebook.
Cool. And also, I have a Kickstarter campaign that came out today for my movie called Pin the Movie. Please donate. You will see all kinds of stuff. It's actually. Not Kickstarter, Indiegogo. It's Indiegogo campaign.
Can we take that back?
I have don't take that back. I have an Indiegogo campaign for Pin the Movie, so that's my new thing. So
can I tell? I have a funny new web series that I just put on YouTube.
Sure.
It's called Real Auditions of Hollywood. It's these are real auditions that actually happened. They're true stories and they're absolutely ridiculous. You won't believe this shit. Check it out on YouTube. Real Auditions of Hollywood.
Thank you guys so much, and have a great week. Take care.
All right.
like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.